Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trillteo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower, Fresh Flower Podcast. You already know what it is. We're back today with a very special guest and a very different topic today. So I'll get into it in just a second. But first, I'd like to introduce my co-host.
What's going on, bro? Like, I'm here once again. It's Q.
You forgot my name, my guy.
We good.
But we good. But yeah, we're here once again. You know, at the Foxhole. Shout out Logan.
Yeah, shout out Foxhole Creative. But yeah, real quick, I also want to introduce a very special guest today, the one and only Jordan.
How's it going, y'all? Thanks for having me.
Some may know him as Jordan. Some may know him as Heavy, but also Light.
Heavy, but Light, you feel me?
Yeah. So we're doing things a little bit different today. Obviously, a lot of our podcasts typically have us, you know, interviewing a special guest. But today, we kind of wanted to have sort of like a roundtable discussion on some topics of interest. And since we have an amazing creative in the building, we decided to bring on Jordan just to sort of discuss the topic of compensation in the creative field, right? So it's something we all have to deal with in terms of getting a return on investment on our services that we provide. So I guess, you know, to start off, Jordan, I'd love to sort of hear about your journey as a creative and how you've been able to sort of navigate the conversations around compensation.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me here. You know, I've been here at the podcast, you know, taking pictures for people and whatnot before, so it feels great to just finally sit down and talk with y'all. You know, very thankful to get that time in. As far as journeys go, I've been reminiscing on that myself very recently. I made a visit to where I started out in Chicago. So, you know, I know this is compensation is always controversial. So what it's gonna
let's get into it.
Controversial. Let's from get the beginning.
Let's go.
So okay, let's talk about compensation. Well, one, where it really started, Waukegan. I make no money in Waukegan. Okay, like when I first started, like the first like 2.5 years of me doing things, like I did not make no money in Waukegan. I think maybe I shot like my cousin's backyard wedding and he gave me like $50 type thing. Like, you know, that's how it was at the time. So I knew I wanted to like work out here and I knew that was going to be kind of like the next step for like business expansion, but also for credibility and work.
True.
Right. So at the time I had just begun working with a blog that used to be a lot more active here called Prime Fortune.
So, shout out Prime Fortune.
Yeah, the first shout out to them. They put me onto like a lot of things early when I was starting out. And the first thing I did with them actually got me linked up to someone I work with now a lot more. So we're talking 5.5 years ago, right? I did a concert for Prime Fortune that was basically like a March to the Vote concert. So it was Prime Fortune and Chicago Votes.
Okay.
And they hosted a Chance concert at, what's that, Maggie Daly Park? So, and then we did the concert, boom, he does the concert. It's like Twin Peaks, some other people, I'm forgetting, Odd Couple. So it was really dope. And then we all went and like marched to the polls after. Okay. So that was like one of the first big things I remember doing. And like that was pretty much volunteer / intern work. Right. So another thing went through them with like they would post like a lot of job postings and things like that. So I applied for an internship that I saw them repost with Private Stock. It was an unpaid internship, which is now like it's a very like controversial topic.
Yeah,
and like
right.
Should people do that? Should people not do it?
Right.
And for me, I think that a blanketed response to if people should or shouldn't do that is not really the way to go. It's more so about like personal analysis and like what you can do.
Very unique to you.
So to create the context for my personal situation, right, is like at the time I was working like a full-time job and I had like enough money to like support myself in like the ways that I needed to.
Hell yeah.
And then like I wasn't in a relationship or anything. I don't have kids. So I had, and I wasn't in school at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of excess time because again, I wasn't necessarily making money mm-hmm. doing photography. So a lot of the photography I was doing was just like personal and, you know, stuff like that. So I had time and a little bit of paper on me. So, you know, for me, going into an unpaid internship, it ended up being very, very fruitful in my experience. I met a lot of good people out there and I created like a portfolio for myself that just demonstrated what I could do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would, you know, meet people in that studio and then go like, they'd throw an event at like Baseline or something. So like I might've met them, did a whole shoot at the studio for them for free because I'm an intern at the studio. Then like that weekend, they paid me to come shoot an event at like Baseline or Emporium or this, and that. So I think one thing that always worked in my favor was me being like a very social person. And I definitely see that paying off over time because that's how I was able to like build those connections and then get work from work.
Yeah, you know? I love that.
That's essentially how I was getting it. And even where I went after Private Stock still came from there because I ended up working for like a label studio situation, like ATS after. So basically, one night I shot with some people at Private Stock and they were like, oh, you know, what are you doing next Wednesday? We don't always record here. Sometimes we record somewhere else. Like, would you be down to come to the other spot?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? They're like, we'll pay you, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
So that was like my first time ever going to the other studio, which ended up being ATS. Fast forward like a couple months, they have like a young artist that they were looking to do a shoot for. And that night when I was there, I had connected with the engineer who was doing like most of their sessions. So he called me like when they needed that artist to be shot, he called me like, hey man, are you still doing photography? This, and that. He don't even know at the time I had actually just quit my full-time job. Okay. Like I quit, I was maybe like 5 days out of work at the time. And really, like it would probably like sound cooler to say like I quit to pursue my creative passion. Mm-hmm. No, I quit because I was gonna fight my boss and like and like they wasn't doing nothing.
He was gonna put balls on them.
He was talking. The thing was he was talking mad crazy to me, like daily. And one day he asked me straight up. He was like, "You want to fight?" And I'm like, "Bro." I'm like, do you? Because you feel me? Like,
don't put your hands on your manager.
Say, do you?
We don't got the complexion for the protection. You feel me? So it's like, I'm like, knowing this is about to go all types of bad ways for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I had to get up out of there.
Facts.
You know, I had to do that for me. But again, to hop back on the path, you know, I'm like 5 days out of work. He randomly called me. I'm like, yeah, I'll pull up, you know, like right now. We didn't even talk about money or nothing.
Hell yeah.
You know, I'm just all like, yeah, I'll pull up because I need to get like back out there.
Mm-hmm.
So pull up, did that shoot, met the owners of the studio that day and whatnot. They like, hey, you kind of nice. Like, you know, what's your situation like right now? And I'm like, hey, man, to be honest with you, I got like 2 interviews on Monday that I'm not trying to go to, so... What's your situation like right now?
How much do you need photography?
Yeah. So that turned into me then working at ATS, which I'll say was probably like my first actual creative job.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they doubled as a label. There was like a joint venture that we had with like Hitco. So we did a whole bunch of stuff with them. And that's where I was essentially like working for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, simultaneously, I will say probably like the months leading up to that actual like transition of me like being an intern and then like becoming employed somewhere, I was doing like freelance shoots. But as far as like people, okay, we're talking about compensation. Like people, we always get to the question of like, how do I know what to charge? Yeah, you know, this, this, and that.
That's the golden question.
What's your budget?
Yeah.
That's the golden question.
So this is actually the thing that I really dislike the most about the photography industry is that it makes no sense. There's a lot of photographers that, to me, it doesn't make sense, right? I see clients on a very individual basis, right? Like every project, they have a different goal, you know? Yep. They have a different mission. They have a different thing that needs to be completed, right? So how am I going to say, oh, I got package ABC and you get this, this, and that with it? And whole time, people, yeah, still book that. But I know the photographers that run that, you know, kind of like, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. It's not like a sleazy or anything like that. It's more so one of those like industry standard things, you know. Yeah. There's nothing like unethical about that business, by the way. My bad if I said it that way, but they're still answering a lot of individually based questions from the client. Yeah, when the client says, I need, you know, the silver package, then now we're having a whole nother conversation about, well, I need this, I need that, I need the purpose is this, this, that. I'd rather just talk with you, be like, okay, what do you need done? What are you trying to accomplish? This, this, and that.
Yep.
Then I can give you an accurate, detailed quote based on your desired need.
Yeah, right, right.
Solve the problem for real.
So I say all that to say what I was charging was always in accordance with my bills. So I was kind of like, all right, I probably shouldn't, like, okay, when we work like our day jobs and stuff, we don't really determine our wages because workers aren't necessarily, unless you are going into a unionized job, you don't have the power in your workplace to negotiate your wage, right? But as a freelance entrepreneur, you do. So I just took that as like, you know, maybe I'm at like Best Buy pulling like $98 on the day or something like that, right? And my phone bill is, what was it? At the, I don't know. Like, let's just say it was $1.20, right? I'm like, well, shoot, I'm not really doing nothing for less than my phone bill because, like, if I can't, like, pay a whole bill off it, like, why am I going to do it, right? So I'm like, okay, well, like, at minimum, and then you got to, like, make it sound nice, right? So I'm like, at minimum, shoot to, like, $150.
Yeah.
Now, this is the other part of that, like, business plan that I say is, like, industry standard that I never liked was, like, because of how other photographers do business, I always get asked the question, like, okay, and like how many edits come with that and this, this, and that. I'm like, why is you doing a shoot with somebody for 2 hours with a digital camera and they giving you 10 edits? For me, it was always like, I gave them everything that was good because what am I going to do with the pictures?
You keeping it for yourself?
I'm not, like, no offense to anybody, but, like, I'm not sitting there practicing with your pictures, like, after, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's done is done, and that's fine, you feel me? So you might get a 40 piece out the shoot, you know? Mm-hmm. And people are like, wow, I never got this many photos before, this, this, and that. And I'm just like, okay, like, you know what I'm saying? So that was, I think I had trouble with that coming up because I was like, this is so confusing that, like, y'all are so used to, like, a format that to me feels inefficient.
Yeah.
If I got all these good pictures of you, why, like, literally, what am I going to do with them?
And how did you break out of that? Because, like, I like what you brought up earlier because, like, with what we do and what you do, what every creative does, it's all about relationships, you know, and that's what you did. You know, you got in, you know, you got a relationship with somebody and they're like, yo, like, come back and shoot this. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna give you some bread now. So, like, how did you, like, break out of that? Because, like, I feel like that's, you know, me personally, that's something that I have, you know, a hard time with because I do, you know, creative stuff on the side, except for the Ghetto Flower. And, like, I feel like that's kind of, like, hard for me to break out of that, like, you know, stigma as far as, like, knowing, like, what to charge somebody and as far as, like, yo, this person charged him that, so should I be charging him that? You know what I'm saying?
For me, it's always been about, like, two things. It's always been about, like, what do I need personally? And two, why you not calling that person? If that person, you know what I'm saying? Then call them. Like, if you give me a day off, hey, shout out to you. You right. know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Call that person in if that's, you know. But as far as I go, like, I just tell you what it is. If they do it like that, then call them.
Oh God. Because that's like what is like, you know, definitely, you know, a struggle being a freelancer. And, you know, you've been, you know, doing it for so long. Yeah, exactly.
That's dope, for so long.
Thank you. And like, how do you know, like, and this is a huge question with anything, like, how do you know when to say yes? You know?
Yeah.
I feel like that is just huge.
That's actually great. So how do you learn to say yes? For me, okay, so one thing, let's kind of bring this to like overall business operation context, right? One thing that was really big with me was that it's not that I don't enjoy the hustle, you feel me? But there is a point where you're hustling so much that you're not necessarily building. One thing that I always wanted to do was create these relationships with people that I could work with again and again and again and again. So I know them through different phases. I know them. I mean, let's just take somebody like Gold Hayes, right? He did this thing with, I think These Days, where they did like a show at Shubas. Yeah. I don't know if y'all went. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out my boy Hayes.
Shout out Hayes.
And Hayes probably got like 4 or 5 years together now, right? Mm-hmm. They got a photographer. And a really, really talented woman. You feel me? This is that. Like, I know how Hayes looks from every single possible angle. You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm telling her, like, hey, like, come like right here real quick. Put the light right here. This and that. She took it. I'm
you know, bro's angles.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's because, like, that's really my guy, you know? Mm. Like, but that's what these long-term like relationships create. There's a lot of people when they're like, they see me work with the same people and it's like, yeah, there's people that I'm 15, 20 shoots deep with, because one, we build that chemistry. Two, I like working on things that I care about. Mm-hmm. If I care about you as a person, you know, I'm more inclined to care about your art, your mission, and the other things. So when we do a project, I'm really putting my best foot forward because not only is it like my product that I'm pushing out, right? But it's like people that I care about and we're sharing a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
The common goal is to just lift all of us up,
mm-hmm.
right? So I really enjoyed having, you know, 10 to 12 clients that maybe are not, you know, $1,000, $2,000 clients and this and that, but the work is consistent, right? They're good people.
Yeah.
And we have a good time together when we work together.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of learning them as a person through their art as we go about and do these things. Mm-hmm. So every shoot, it really gets better.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
So instead of, you know, I came up at a time where there was like a very much like old guard feel that we're starting to see drop now, you know, in Chicago.
Hell yeah.
It's falling on its face.
Old guard.
Yeah.
I mean, the changing of the guard.
It's falling on its face pretty fast. Yeah. So, you know, when I came up, I remember like messaging people and, you know, all type of stuff like, hey, can I come assist and da 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 da. And like, I'm not one of the guys that, you know, got in on the Nike shoots and got in on the... No, I didn't get none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like none of those experiences did I ever partake in.
Mm-hmm.
I had my little group of people that rocked with me and I rocked with them back and we kept working and working and working and working our way up. And now you see people where it's like, Flex, that's the main musician I worked with. You feel me? Just signed a Def Jam. It's like, that's years of that work.
Yeah, shout out Flex.
That's years of that work, you know? So with stuff that we're doing, it's just like that. I've always thought that having a smaller business circle where we can create these intimate, long-lasting relationships would be better long-term for business.
I feel you. And is that like kind of like if you were talking to a photographer or anybody that's trying to be in this scene, is that something that you would like kind of tell them as far as like, you know, create that foundation. Cause I love that. Cause that's exactly what you did. And that's exactly how you've been able to get other paid jobs and stuff like that. Cause we do work all the time and it's just easy. You know what I'm saying? And it's because
you ain't gotta say nothing.
Yeah. And it's because of that. So going back to that question, is that something that you would do? Cause hearing you now, that's something that I'll tell somebody.
I tell people, but I don't think people want to hear that because I don't think people get the reality of it's a longer route.
It's a longer game.
And plus, it's so enticing to be like, well, I want to do the Nike shoot and get the Air Maxes and, you know, this and that. When it's all like, it's not to say that it's very possible to be that person in Chicago that does that. Trust me, it's very... You can definitely be that person, especially in a city like this or like New York or Los Angeles, to be like the brand deal person and, you know, all that. It's very enticing. And the money's good. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. But that wasn't for me and that wasn't my route. And the recipe that I have is one that works. It won't only work for me, it'll work for other people, right? But you have to be willing to do that work. You have to be willing to go through that growth, that phase. You know, it's not necessarily pretty, but it's what works.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I wanna ask you something about that. And you kinda pointed to it a little bit when you said you were doing a lot of those internships for free, right? And then that slowly led to those paid gigs. And like you were working for like friends and relatives and cousins, whatever it may be. At what point do you start to see like, okay, am I getting taken advantage of because of my skill? And like, should I be demanding some sort of pay for this? And how did you, I guess, kind of navigate that when it started to be like, okay, like I've done enough free work. Like, what am I getting from this?
I think a lot of those... That one is actually tough for me because thankfully, the route I took did not lead to a lot of exploitation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
truthfully.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
So, let's just take working in America in context, right? Are you getting underpaid? Yes. Everyone's getting underpaid. So, if the question is, you know, did you feel like you deserve more money? You deserve more money.
Exactly.
Like
if you're it's even a question.
If you you know what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can always say, like, oh, I should have charged more for that, you know, this and that. But it's like, I don't know. Just I would say do your best to like avoid those exploitative situations because I've dealt with like a few of them. It was never really when I was like an intern or anything like that. More so, I'll say the was when I got off my model, when maybe that circle that I was working with, when, you know, everybody was kind of just in like work mode, but like for me, that's not necessarily a hot season, right? It's more so everybody's tucked away, they're working on the music, they're working on the fashion, they're working on this and that. And I'm kind of like, well, my thing is like when everybody's done working, you know?
Exactly.
So when I would do like one-offs and stuff like that was when it would be a lot of like, you know, they'd ask me for one thing and then I'd show up and they're like, oh, can you do something completely different and way more and this and that.
Hell yeah.
So it was a lot of when I actually went away from my business model and philosophy where I got into those situations.
Okay.
I feel you. And that's and I think that is like you definitely have to stay the course and definitely have to, if you have like good results with what you're doing, you don't want to deviate from that. And like you said, and you know, you seeing all this stuff. And that probably what made you want to deviate. You like, damn, nigga, get Nike shoes on.
You feel me?
But I did want to ask that, and we always ask this because not a lot of people know. We had an opportunity to almost be at ComplexCon like a long time ago.
Yep.
And we always think about if we got that opportunity, where would we be at now, or will we even learn the shit that we did? Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to pose this question to you: is if you got the opportunity, like to shoot a Nike, you know, situation, or you know, to any big brand, like back in the day, do you feel like you would have the same trajectory?
So, okay, as far as like opportunities. I'll actually tell y'all about one that I like botched.
Really, really. Let's get it. Because we haven't told. We only told probably like a couple of people about the
not a lot of people know about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely taken an L, and thankfully I really don't care anymore. So I can like talk about it and it's funny. Hmm. But years ago, and I don't know how they found me, even with the like, I don't know how people find me for real. Like I have like a website and like things like that. But I mean, we followed each other for a while. Y'all know like I don't do like mass promotion campaigns and things like that. So like when people find me, it really just be off like them finding me. Yeah. However that happens, right? Yeah. I want to say it was late 2018, maybe like fall, this time 2018. And Masego, his team had like reached out to me about they're having a show with like, I think like 1833 or something like that. And like, can I shoot it in Chicago? This and that. Mm-mm. So this is a little bit embarrassing.
That's crazy. Let's get it. They need to hear it.
So
bro.
What happened was at the time, right, they sent me like the date and the details for the show. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I instantly see that like it's on this like anniversary date that I got with like this person that I was with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we wasn't necessarily in the best spot. So I'm like, man, if I cancel this.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
You know what I'm saying? So I hit Masego's like team back and I'm like, hey, yeah, this is nice, but like, could I get like a plus one ticket or something like that? This and that. And they just never replied.
Damn.
Never after that.
They never replied. And I was like, well, I guess I don't have to cancel it. You know what I'm saying?
I won't be going to that.
I do want to say one time for the one time. Ladies and gentlemen, cancel that date. Cancel that date. You feel me? Live your life. Cause
that shit
if somebody, especially at that age, like I was young, you know, they really want you to put like your career under them.
I don't think,
you know, that's not somebody that's wise for you long term. Right? And we see long term they're not here. So you know, so yeah, cancel that date, do your thing. But I do think like, oh man, what would that have been like? Cause it was actually, I think he was only doing like a smaller venue at the time. So at the time, 1833 had like, they had Metro and there's that one next to the McDonald's, like kind of out west.
Not Avondale.
Nah. It's like more so like outside the West Loop by them like goat restaurants and whatnot. I forget. It's like something, the lounge, something, the bottom lounge.
Oh, bottom lounge.
The bottom lounge.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think he had taken off like pretty much like right after that. And I was like, oh, you know, sometimes I think about it like, oh, you know, what could that have been? But then also I just like, I wouldn't get all the great experiences that I had, you know, with the people that are much closer to me. So I think it does work out for the best, you know. I'm definitely not salty about that anymore because I just kept working, you know. And I think that's another thing too that'll adjust your attitude. Like if you just keep working, you'll be all right. Losses, you know,
turn into lessons, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, and that's
I'm like, better at emailing now, you know.
I'm on it,
and that's like something I heard of. It's like called the probability curve. It's like 80% of the time you'll fail, and 20% of the time you'll actually, you know, win. And it's, you know, what is going to get you to get to that 20%? Are you going to keep going? You know, are you going to stop? And like, I love all the shit that you spit. You know, especially, you know, the foundation part. And like, what I kind of wanted to end off on this segment is like, you know, like what other gems could you possibly give to somebody as far as compensation? Cause I feel like that is the biggest part that you said today was finding your foundation of people, making relationships, those relationships turn to other relationships, which can turn into dollars, figuring out the good relationships to have with people to get to those dollars. You feel me? So like, what other gems could you give to the people? Because I love that. Because to me, that is what I'm gonna walk away from.
So I think, like being intentional is like really, really big with like the work that you do. Mm-hmm. It's like your why, you know. So like, why am I doing this, this, and that? So I do think that being a creative, someone who has done this while not in school, and then now somebody who is in school that does this, I do think that there is a large sector of young people, 17 to 30, that think that they can jump into this field and essentially avoid, make a living for themselves and avoid getting a degree, right? And oftentimes these are people who we see are like more like stern about finances, or really really want to talk about this conversation maybe even more than me, because right. They're like, they got whatever going on, that, you know, when they're pretty much mostly in it for the money.
Right. Yeah, 100%.
They're somebody who could perhaps like learn a skill quickly and then apply it and be like, yeah, you know, I'm a graphic designer now. You know, like, it's my passion.
Like, especially all the new programs.
Yeah, you know, AI, all type of thing. Like, mm-hmm. So with that being said, I always kind of live by like, money is more of like a symptom of what I do. So I do good work. I personally feel like I'm skilled at what I do, and I treat people well along the way. Mm-hmm. Because of that, money appears.
Yep.
And
I love that.
So money has always been like a very secondary thing for me. It's important. We live in a capitalistic society where everybody has to pay rent, right? Everybody has to pay bills. People need like insurance and all type of things. That's not me saying that money is some like irrelevant fake thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's just saying that my reason is not money.
Yep.
And money isn't even necessarily on the totem pole of reasons for me. Mm-hmm. Money, again, is a symptom of what I do. Ooh. Because I do certain things, money comes from that.
I feel you.
I love that.
And that is true, because like, you for real, I feel like if you have that, you know, type of mindset, it'll more so attract to you rather than you trying to attract it. Instead of you trying to chase it. And bro, like, I appreciate you coming on this first time to, you know, talk compensation with us,
Jordan. A lot of people need to hear this.
With Jordan Heavy, but like, bro.
Yeah, I think this is a great topic, because in the world we live in, money is such like a big thing, but because of that, people have a lot of, I will say, negative stances and views on it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do freelance business like corporations, where they're like, you want to extract the most money out of your client and do the least work. Like, why do you want to do that? Yeah, like, literally, why? You know what I'm saying? So they get into this to just be a single member corporation.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But I think when you want to create, when you want to form relationships, and when you want to like care about the community around you, right? Hell, because the work that I do, it doesn't just involve me. Like, I'm a photographer. I definitely take nature pictures, but you feel me? The internet, y'all don't like that as much.
I don't really know what with that.
You know, so a lot of my work that is compensated is portraiture, right? So, you know, with that, like, you wanna do like good for other people. And I can't do portrait work without another person.
Yeah,
the connection.
Yeah.
You need connection.
Yeah, so it's like, I need other people. So because I need other people, it's only in my best interest to care about those people that I need.
Hell yeah, exactly. And that's for real what it's all about. I feel like you just said, like, you bring up like, I feel like people should more so focus on the invisible assets rather than, mm-hmm. you know, like
the intangibles.
Yeah. Like, you know, just regular shit, like love, curiosity, you know, all that shit. Like, just the shit that, you feel me, is invisible, because it'll bring you to the actual, you know, assets of the bread. But once again, man, we appreciate you sliding on here, bro, man.
If y'all don't mind, let me share one more thing.
Real definitely,
quick. Go ahead.
A lot of people also ask me about how I formed a relationship with Flex.
Oh, and God,
that,
let's get it.
I will just tell this story real fast in one go.
Go ahead.
I was collaboratively hired by Ron Louie to shoot a fashion video. He sent the song over, and like usually when you edit videos, y'all have edited videos before, you know, like by the time you're done with the video, you like, man, this song, I can't wait to never play this again, right? Bro, the song was rocking. I'm like, who is dude? Like, is he from here? This, and that. I just asked like Ron to like connect us and whatnot. And I was like, yo, dude, like I'm a fan of your music. I just want to work with you. Like, are you like looking for a photographer right now? This, and that. And it happened to be at a time where he was like, really doubling down on himself and getting serious about like his operation really going for it. And he's all like, man, this is like perfect timing. Like, yes, I definitely need someone right now.
Hell yeah.
You know, this, and that. So that relationship was 100% formed by like me hearing someone's music that I liked and like just wanted to like work with somebody that I was really a fan of.
Damn.
You know, uh-huh. So we had no prior relationship or knowledge of each other or anything before like I shot that video and then heard his song editing that video.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
It's like, also, if there's somebody that is like local, you like their stuff, you want to work with them, whether that's like a fashion brand, a musician, even a comedian, like Chicago's got a lot of different, you know, nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm. And of course, like I'm speaking specifically on my industry.
Yeah.
You know, I think, when we do have these conversations, they need to be specialized and taken in context, right? But yeah, like shoot your shot and like don't be afraid to be a fan, dude. Everybody's like,
nobody wants to be huge.
Like everybody want to be cool.
The photographer, man.
The photographer want to be the diva these days. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, nah, like I was a fan of bro's music. I hit him up like, hey, yo, I'm a fan.
All right,
let's work. And here we are 4 years later.
Yeah,
you know,
and you shot. And were you there when he got signed? You shot the video of him.
I wasn't there. I couldn't be there because I worked.
Okay, for sure.
But I edited that whole video and put it together.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know, stuff like that. But also along the way, we got to have many enjoyable moments, and we're gonna make a lot more memories. But it's all because, you know, I didn't have too much pride to say, I like your music, man.
Let's do something, exactly.
And
from you doing that, just like we went over, it's from you doing that, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
A lot of stuff down the line. And you focused on just relationship, invisible asset.
Exactly.
I like that.
Love that, bro. But yeah, we'll head out on that, bro. Fresh Flowers Podcast.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
Appreciate you, Jordan.
Shout out, Jordan. Yeah. A conversation about compensation.
You feel me? And we out. A conversation about compensation is hard.
That was tough.
That was nice.